Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Triangulation, episode 213. David Glickman of Lively. Triangulation is brought to you by 99 Designs. Your branding is the face of your business. Make a great impression with creative, professional designs from 99 Designs. Visit 99designs.com/twit and get a $99 upgrade for free. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service that is the most sophisticated way for you to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit wealthfront.com/triangulation to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. Free. That's wealthfront.com/triangulation. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With a built-in HD camera and microphone, you can monitor your front door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like being home even when you're not. Right now, get $10 off the Ring Video Doorbell when you go to ring.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we talk to some of the most interesting people in technology, and we do it with your help. You're the third leg of the stool on Triangulation. Just twit.tv. You can get the chat link there or just go straight to irc.twit.tv. Our guest today has an interesting history. David Glickman has been around the block. His latest project is Lively at mylively.com. Welcome, David. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You might note that I have... You can turn it on or off.
Nah, it keeps vibrating. I should turn it off. Yeah. That's rude.
But I'm sure we're going to do a demo of Lively.
We are going to do a demo. So I will demonstrate how to turn a smartphone on live.
And people are wondering, why, Leo, do you have this this very compact, handheld, handwritten device? Were you project manager? What was your title?
I was one of the product managers.
That's what I meant, product.
Yeah. So manager. At the time, there were probably three or four of us working on different aspects of Newton. I was telling Leo before we started, he's going to jog my memory here, so hopefully I'll get all this right, but I was working on, you will remember it, something called the Newton Connection Kit.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the software that would connect the message pad to your computer, and this is actually a interesting fact. At the time, we were the first product at Apple that connected with a PC. So we had Newton Connection Kit
for
the Mac
for
and
Windows.
The PC and for Windows.
But this was a kind of, Steve Jobs was not there. The Newton was John Sculley's effort. The person, he said this is going to be a $1 trillion category, the PDA. And it's very possible that that something had been in the works when Jobs was there. I don't know.
I don't think Newton was in the works when Jobs was
there. I'm trying to remember because, I've been reading a lot of Apple history since Steve's passing, and I do remember. The genesis of this was there was something in mind. But, of course, it led to it did not of itself succeed greatly, although I note a few of them.
I did my best. Those involved in the day. I have a few in my garage as well.
To foster the Newton because I loved it, although Doonesbury pilloried it.
Had some fun with it.
With the handwriting recognition in particular.
Yeah, so there were several of us who would go to Comdex and other trade shows, and we were up on stage demoing. So when you demo something, by nature, you're always a little nervous. And it's worse when you're nervous and you're going
like this.
And you're
trying to do handwriting recognition.
So actually, a funny story, that is one of the reasons that we started working with Palm at the time, made Graffiti.
Right.
Palm started as a software platform on Newton and maybe some other platforms.
Hawkins was a fan of the Newton.
Yeah, Jeff was a big fan.
Yeah.
And we started using, we being the product group and the what are called evangelist group, the ones working with third parties, and we started using Graffiti on stage because we didn't want the Doonesbury thing to happen.
Let's see what that said. I am writing this sentence. Siam fighting atomic sentry. I am writing a test sentence. Ian is writing a taste sensation. I am writing a test sentence. What?
That was it. Egg freckles.
Egg freckles
became infamous.
That's the phrase. Yeah.
And there was an Easter egg inside, I believe, I think I have this right, later software of Newton that had the phrase egg freckles. By the way, you could make the argument that potentially Siri today, you could have a similar experience.
Absolutely.
Or Google's voice recognition as well.
It's always been tough for computers to do something that a 2 or 3 year old can do easily because our brains aren't the same as a machine. I loved the Newton, and I really saw it as the future in so many respects. Especially this is a later Newton MessagePad 2000, because I had a fax modem card.
Yes,
that
was cutting edge. That was wireless connectivity, on-the-go connectivity.
I'm sorry, I've got such a cough. This was 1993, so I don't even know what I was probably connecting to AOL or CompuServe or Genie.
It would have been AOL. And also, that was a lot of people just simply wanted to write a note and fax it to somebody.
Right, the fax.
I mean,
Or draw a picture and fax it. That's probably what
somebody.
I bought this for. This was the X-Jack. I remember that from Megahertz.
The group of people there were amazing, and we were saying this a little bit before we went on air, too. You could definitely claim that it was a big failure, and it was from a financial standpoint, but there's a lot that went into that you see inklings of in these devices today. And actually, some of the folks that... that were really pioneers on MessagePad, Michael Chow in particular. He was the lead marketing guy who worked with Scully on the original idea around Newton. He's back at Apple now, left for a while, and he runs marketing for iPad. So to me, that's a full circle, which is pretty amazing.
I think there's no question when you see this and handle it that it was the precursor for smartphones. And then I think what Apple learned from this absolutely went into the iPhone. There was no question about
definitely.
It.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
How many of the people still were there, I don't know. But I think they learned a lot. But your history is actually quite interesting. So I might even go farther back than the Newton. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah. Hopefully I remember that.
We're both trying to remember 1993 and 94. It's not that easy. 20 years ago. It's funny. This doesn't feel that old, but I guess it is. 20 years.
It's 20 years.
20 years.
It's pretty amazing.
Is mind-boggling. Of course, you're an entrepreneur now. What were you? You went to a Pitzer.
I went
great
to Pitzer
school.
College.
Love
you know
Pitzer.
It. I love it.
I do because I have friends of my daughter who's in college are going there.
Oh, good.
And that Claremont system is an
amazing yeah.
system.
For those who don't know, it's in Southern California, east of Los Angeles, in Pomona. Yeah. Most people have heard of Pomona College.
Right.
It's one of the five. Fantastic school. Very, very hard to get into these days, Pomona is. I'm not sure I'd get into Pitzer.
I think it's gotten harder and harder. Yeah.
So there's five schools there. You have Pomona and Pitzer, which are very strong liberal arts schools. Scripps, all women's school, also liberal
That's
arts.
What my daughter got into. She
Harvey
was
Mudd, yep. premier engineering school.
Absolutely.
Top five or maybe even top three. And then what's my last one? Claremont McKenna. Which is a business-oriented school. So I took a fair amount of classes at Claremont McKenna.
That's the nice thing is you could go to any of the other schools. Did you get an engineer? I mean, you went to the liberal arts school.
I went liberal arts. I actually majored in political science, had an interest at the time in politics. I did an internship with, I grew up in the Bay Area, so those in the San Francisco area might remember this name, Art Agnos, who was the mayor.
Mayor Agnos, loved him. Great guy.
I did an internship with Art Agnos and was interested in political science, but took some classes at Claremont McKenna. I didn't take any classes in Harvey Mudd. Actually, I wish I had.
Now it would be useful.
Yeah, it'd be very useful.
Although I think being in politics is probably very close to being an entrepreneur. There's a certain marketing involved. You have to manage a team, and often in politics that team forms quickly and disperses quickly.
Yeah, I think there might be some
similarities.
Some parallels.
It's a startup in some ways, isn't
it?
At least that's what people say these days.
No, I think maybe these days it is. I haven't been as involved as of late, but I actually was very interested in. I was kind of a Mac geek, so I grew up in the 80s, and 70s and 80s, and was fortunate enough to have one of the early Macs, and was very interested in that, and so grew up in Orinda and Berkeley here in the East Bay of San Francisco area, and actually in high school was a computer consultant, so I'd walk around with a little briefcase and teach people
Mac. You were one
of
those guys.
I was a complete geek, fully admit it.
People are aware of Michael Dell and how, like, as a kid, he would. But really, there's a cadre of people, and probably many of the people in the business today, were in high school, were
doing
like,
consulting,
had businesses.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents, Joe, they said this years later, I never thought this, but they were legitimate, from their perspective, really concerned that I, you know, might not go to Pitzer because I was enjoying this consulting thing and charging a pretty good amount of money for a kid. And so anyway, I went to Pitzer, did the political science thing, graduated in 1992. For those who remember, that was somewhat of a recession time, and so got an offer from a company that I had done consulting with. You might remember this company. It's a company called Lapis Technology. So it was in the days of SuperMac, Radius, all the guys making video cards.
Yeah.
And Lapis's niche was programmable video cards for the Mac, meaning program different resolutions.
Wow.
And that was unheard of on the Mac side because everything was hard-coded by Apple standards. So I went to work with them. We were out of Berkeley and Alameda. They got bought by a company in Boston.
It was such a vibrant ecosystem in those days around the Mac.
Oh, it was incredible.
I had a Radius display. It was giant. It was giant for the time, which was probably 21 inches.
Yeah.
It felt really, really...
You could twist it.
It would go into a portrait mode. And it was hideously expensive. I remember that very well.
Oh, but it was $2,000.
Yeah, it was horrible. Like it was as much as the Mac, probably.
Yeah. So I worked for them, and then they got bought by a company in Boston, and I wanted to stay in the Bay Area, and so I decided not to. They gave me an offer, but I decided not to go there, and fortuitously went to a Mac World and met some people I had been working with at Apple, and they said, you ought to come in and check out this Newton thing.
Wow.
And I got very lucky and ended up there and spent about 3 years there and loved it. I mean, I really, I learned a tremendous amount and some of the smartest people I've ever worked with.
One of the cool things about the Newton is it didn't use rechargeables. It used regular batteries.
Yes.
And so I just put regular batteries in my Newton and my contacts are still here. Everything's still, partly because I spent a lot of money on a 2 megabyte memory card.
You probably spent, I'm guessing, what were those, $400 or $500?
Yeah, hundreds. 2 megabytes. That's a floppy disk worth of data.
It's crazy.
But I don't remember what the internal memory was, but that's probably
about 1.5 photos today on the,
exactly,
the iPhone.
Exactly. So probably the reason I have this is because my contacts is because they're stored on this non-volatile memory. I have very fond memories of the Newton. It was pretty innovative for its time. The UI, everything about it was unique.
Oh no, it was very innovative. The UI, the ability to draw. I mean, it sounds so funny now, but the ability to just draw something and then, like we were joking around, fax it to somebody was pretty amazing.
Right.
And for those looking at all these smartphones today, it doesn't seem that revolutionary, but it really was at the time, and it was one of the first, if not first, device where you didn't need a mouse and you were just using the stylus and pointing around. And even the contacts, when I look at it, the simplicity of that contact card,
it's great. And you can
compared to today, I actually think there's a lot of validity to the simplicity.
I feel like I could change the card style, so
yeah,
it has some. I think this is the origin of skeuomorphic design for Apple, of trying to make, and you needed to do it with something like this because you needed to make this intuitive, and there was nothing that came before. So as a result, you kind of think about, well, how can I make this work the way people would expect it to work, even though they've never tried this before? Oh, here's my resume.
There's your resume. Petaluma.
Oh, my gosh. That is
fantastic.
Can I print this out somehow? I don't know.
We had printing. There is a print button there.
Oh, my gosh. That's my resume. By the way, don't visit that address or call that number. I think those are long gone.
Still Petaluma.
Wow.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
And even just as you scrolled, that's pretty fast scrolling.
Yeah, considering what's going on here.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
we used the ARM processor. ARM became, you know, quite
successful.
In
fact, Apple co-founded ARM to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, ARM started because of the Newton. Yeah. Or maybe they were started already, but the Newton was one of the first commercial successes.
I think the Newton was the genesis of Apple's investment in ARM.
Yeah.
Because they needed a different processor, a mobile processor that would work, with good battery life and give you some decent power.
Yep. The other thing I remember keenly was, I think her name was Marge Boots. We spent a tremendous amount of time on icon design. Little things like that.
They're gorgeous. So
really, really crisp.
Yeah.
With obviously, we're not dealing with the resolution that we have today, and so very intuitive. And it was a great product. Obviously ahead of its time in many respects, but The biggest thing, the biggest challenge was the handwriting. The rest of it, sorry, we have a problem occurred.
Oh, yeah, it's your fault. I blame you, David. This thing hasn't been used in 20 years.
I'm just impressed. I
can't believe it's working. I'm trying. What I want to do is I can't remember how to use it. That's part of the problem. And, of course, I've screwed it up by popping out cards while it's operating, so I should probably... And it wants to be calibrated.
Yeah, remember this. If you didn't use it for a little while, there was a recalibration of the stylus.
Yeah. And screen technology in 1993, 1994 wasn't super good. So let's see.
Those who have never seen one before, as you can see, it was just black and white. But that was high resolution at the time.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive. I wish I could get the notes running because I'd love to try my hand at some handwriting recognition.
The fax screen. Maybe see. There's not even text messaging really.
NetHopper was the. This was. This
that was. That was the rudimentary browser. Actually, this was right at the time that Mosaic and Netscape were.
I had a Ricochet modem attached to this.
I remember Ricochet. Yeah.
They were piggybacking on telephone poles in San Francisco. Yep. To provide wireless net access.
And I remember it being pretty fast.
It was, for the time, it was great. You had to have, and that's probably, that explains the Velcro in the back here. I had
a ricochet modem
Velcroed to the back of this thing. This is a fun trip down memory lane.
Hopefully this is interesting for others. We're having a good time. But
okay.
there you go. There's some handwriting.
Please, what should I say? Please
call me.
Call me. Do it. Yeah,
there
it interpreted it. It gave me my little, look at that.
Looks like, see, I don't even like that interface.
Now, this is the funny thing because it calls by sending tones through the speaker.
Right.
I don't know if you can hear those and then hang up. Because remember, we're in a time where there's very little interface for this stuff.
Well, I remember there was an app, I believe it was Skytel, and it was a two-way pager app, because there was no notion of text messaging like we have now. And that was very forward-thinking to have this two-way pager built into Newton.
Yeah, I love the sounds.
Very, very sophisticated.
And when you threw stuff away, there would be... was the genesis of that little crumpling of the paper and the poof.
Yep. Someone I remember, one of the apps was a Texas Instruments, you know, the calculator, the scientific calculator. And then the other thing that probably a lot of consumers didn't know is that in the business-to-business, in the enterprise space, there was a lot of excitement. There were a lot of hospitals were trying to use it in the way that if you go to the doctor today, they're using computers and notepads
this
and everything.
This was tablet. This was the beginning of tablet.
Yeah, they were using the message pad.
And you could see where there are areas where you would... But now, I guess in hindsight, want to improve it. Touch would be nice instead of a stylus. Remember Steve famously.
Steve was very against
the
stylus.
He hated the stylus.
Yeah.
But he hated anything John Sculley thought of.
That's probably true. Or that he didn't think of.
So the fact is that the stylus is back, and there's even rumors that the next iPad
might have a stylus.
Yeah. So the stylus isn't such a bad idea, especially if you can't do multi-touch, which you can at this time.
Right.
I mean, the technology.
And you see a fair amount of styluses that people buy
I have a Samsung Note with a stylus.
Yeah.
And
but even for the iPhone, you go to the store and they have a bunch of them now that you can buy. Yeah.
So Steve might have been a little bit off on that. What is it?
Well, he said there would never be a big phone either or an iPhone.
He said you'd have to file your fingers to a point to use them. Well,
it is a fun trip down memory lane. And
yeah, I apologize doing that to you because you have so much more interesting stuff going on today.
I don't apologize. I think it's fun. It's good to see it, and I love that you have one
It works.
Operating. Mine is...
with my resume on it.
I got to go
find
mine
get a job.
I got to go find mine. It's in a box in the garage next to the high school box and then probably a college box and then a Newton box.
Are you sure you want to turn off a power while phone is active? Yeah,
see,
I do.
I want you to keep...
Oh, I can't. Remember, I'm trying to touch it. Look at that. You forget so quickly. That is very stylish, by the way. That's a nice-looking stylus.
One of the other funny things about... hopefully, I don't embarrass myself with my Newton friends here, but if I'm thinking about it now, we never had phone calls on that.
No.
It was just faxing. No, but there was never a third-party app that tried to figure out how you can make a phone call, which seems funny now, right? Because obviously these are all
phones. People have said you wouldn't ever want to hold anything this big to your head.
Like a Galaxy Note or a 5 Plus. I mean, a 6 Plus.
How quickly we've gotten used to that, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. This is fun. We're having a good time down memory lane. We'll talk a little bit more about the present and what Lively is all about in just a bit. David Glickman is our guest, and this is Triangulation. We're glad you're here for the show today. We are brought to you by, and they're back, and I'm so happy because I love them, 99 Designs today. I love 99 Designs. I think 99 Designs is doing its best to beautify the internet. So many people today decide that they have Photoshop skills. I could do my own logo, my own menu. I could do my own design. There's an art to design. 99 Designs will help you build your brand. Branding is so important, but it does require a little help from a pro. And it's worth the effort because it makes it, it's what people see of you. Your brand, your design, your logo should highlight your unique virtues, should let customers know what they can expect from your business. It can communicate all that. And in today's climate, with so many competing products and the internet and social media and technology, a strong brand is so crucial to cut through the noise. Now, how can 99 Designs help? They're the world's largest online marketplace for graphic design. 900,000 designers from all over the world are ready to compete for your business. They do contesting. It's very clever. You use them in a simple design brief. Designers, now, by the way, they're not doing this involuntarily. They want to do this. They come, they look at your design brief, they submit designs, you choose the ones you like the best, you work with them, and in 7 days you get to pick your favorite design and start using it right away. Logo design starts as little as $299. And by the way, there's a 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee. They're the go-to place to get a logo design, but they also do designs for websites, mobile apps, book covers, T-shirts, car wraps, menus, anything. You need stationery. You need to have a good brand, a good design. We had some fun. Remember, we did some of our favorite T-shirts came from 99 Designs, right, Glenn? It was great. We got four. Actually, what happened? We had a contest and we got so many good designs. We bought four or five of them, and we've been making T-shirts out of them ever since. 99 Designs is the place to build your brand, and I'm going to help you get started. When you go to 99designs.com/twit, you're going to get a free $99 upgrade. 99 Designs will highlight your project listing. They'll bump it to the top. They'll feature it on their blog. That means you're going to get twice as many designs to choose from. And this is free. $99 worth free when you go to 99designs.com/twit. 99designs.com/twit. You know what? That reminds me, Glenn. It's time for a new T-shirt. Let's go back to 99 Designs and get some designs. That wonderful one with the four colors. You could show the designs that we did. It was really neat. 99designs.com.
I've used it before.
Have you used it?
Yeah, it's great.
I think as an entrepreneur, you probably understand that. You know, you want to have the right branding, and a logo really does kind of communicate something.
Yeah, no,
about
it definitely
what
does.
You're up to, what you're doing.
We didn't use it for Lively. I had an in-house person do it, but I for some other companies that I've helped or advised, they've used it. The beauty of it is you get tons of responses really quickly.
I know, and lots of ideas,
lots of
creative.
Of ideas, yeah.
And a lot of these designers are in India or
all
China or Russia. They're all over the world.
Yeah.
So you get some really interesting multicultural perspectives. Look at these great designs we got. They were so cool. I don't think we ever made that last one there. We should make that. That's really nice.
I like the script.
Twit. Anyway, our guest David Glickman is founder and COO of Lively. Why COO? You didn't want to run a thing? You've run businesses.
I have run businesses before. There was three of us who founded the company. So myself.
One of you gets to be the CEO.
So Iggy Fanlow, who's one of my other business partners, and Keith Dutton, he's our CTO. So Iggy had the very beginnings of the idea of Lively, and he's also run companies before, and
was also captain of the Princeton golf team,
and he was
very
on the
well
Princeton,
known.
And he was on the Princeton golf team. You've done your homework. He is a much better golfer than I, since I've golfed about three times in my life.
But you're a tennis player, right?
I did play tennis.
Yeah.
Still play tennis.
Tennis is a great game.
I do love tennis. Tennis is like riding a bike. Once you learn it, you can go out after 3 years and play a decent game. You're not going to win a championship or a tournament, but you can have fun.
And you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the three of us founded the company, and...
3 years ago.
3 years ago. And so all of us were in our I'm 45, 44, I guess, 45 next month.
The bike riding's done good by you.
The bike riding's done
good. I would have said 28.
Well. I love it. Thank you. You made my day. All right, we're done. You just
made my day. You didn't do it today, but you've ridden from San Francisco to here and farther.
I ride from San Francisco to Sonoma, and I always come through here, literally right outside the studio. I didn't even know it was here.
No, we hide. We don't want anyone to
know. It's a great location.
Yeah, we love it.
So anyway, what I was saying is, you know, we're in our 40s and 50s. We've all been around the block, had some...
And have older parents.
Have older parents, have had some successes, some not so successful things, like a Newton and what have you. So when we started thinking about Lively, to us what was most important is the three of us got along, very complimentary. And so to me, am I CEO, that's not so important. What's more important is, are we... a good core team that can help build this and make it successful. I know that sounds political, back to our earlier conversation, but it's not. It's kind of where we're at life.
Yeah.
We want to do something that has meaning as much as it does commercial success.
When I started Twit, it was just me. And I remember at Foo Camp listening to Paul Graham talk. He said, you should never be a solo founder. He said, that's nuts.
Oh, it's so
But he also said you should never have three founders. Because I think three's good, though, because you could break ties.
We break ties.
You have three votes.
I don't know if you hear this vibrating. This is my daughter. This is a 12-year-old daughter who is amazing.
What is she saying?
Oh, she knows that I'm on here. So she says, show me. This is all about me. She wants me to show you on camera.
My kids do the exact... What's her name?
Samantha.
Samantha, knock it off.
There we go.
My kids do the same thing.
Stop it.
My kids are 23 and 21, and they still do that. Henry, my 21-year-old, says,
"Look at her.
Hey, can you reach?" Oh, she's beautiful.
See, she wants to.
She's well, show her. He says, "Can you retweet me? Because you have half a million followers. Just show it up there. They'll figure out.
They'll figure out how to do it.
There, turn to the left. Oh, she's beautiful.
All right,
is that her right now?
Yeah, that's her texting. She's with my parents. So funny.
So did Iggy have the idea for Lively?
So the genesis is Iggy started doing research. This was at the end of 2011, beginning of 2012, on this area that, let's just call it aging for now. That's what people talk about.
A lot of entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs your age too and my age, are all of a sudden thinking about this. We know the baby boomers are getting to a certain age. And that we feel like that demographically, this is going to be a vast market that's about to open up. And I've seen a lot of my friends start companies all around this line. None of them successful. I don't know why. Baby boomers are hard to tap into.
Yeah, it's a tough market. We can talk a little bit about that. But so Iggy had the genesis of the idea of this whole idea. There's a notion in aging called activities of daily living. So, well, let me back up even one step further. Which is when our parents, about 30 years ago or so, the average age of someone moving into some sort of assisted living out of their own home was about 70, 74.
Really?
Today it's in the 90s.
Yeah.
So you have this, because of healthcare, because of technology, you have people who are adamant about staying in their own home.
My parents are 83. They live at home. They don't want to move into assisted
living. My father's 83 this year as well.
Yeah, I keep telling my mom. Come on, Mom. You'll love it. It's great. There'll be other people.
They don't want to.
No. I'm happy.
They want to be in their own place.
And she's doing fine, but I think something like this... We'll continue on.
So the thesis we had was, let's use really, really simple technology, and we'll get into how we did that, make it as unobtrusive as possible, not too much techie, all the stuff that you and I like to geek out about.
They
like,
don't
take all,
have
take all
to do
that
with,
out.
Yeah.
And provide something that gives them peace of mind that if something goes wrong, they'll be okay.
Right.
As well as, probably even maybe more importantly, us as the ones caring for our
parents.
We're
more worried about them than
they are. We're more worried. Let us sleep more, et cetera.
Yeah.
And give us peace of mind. And so Iggy had a very early idea, even before we figured out how the hardware, would it be hardware, what would we do, et cetera. And then he brought Keith and myself in, and We very quickly started the company, came up with the name Lively. Even the name, I think, goes a long way.
Much better than, like, Medical Alert.
Medical Alert. So the big thing is, you've heard of it. I think a lot of your viewers have.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
The I've fallen and I can't get up infomercial. It's done two things. One, it's actually done a good thing, which is the awareness, product awareness for a pendant that you wear around your neck is very high. Yeah. So the idea of there's a button if I need help, that's the positive.
Right.
The negative is it has, I'll just say it, kind of horrible connotations or a stigma to it.
Yeah.
Nobody, if you ask your mother or father,
she doesn't want.
She's not going to want to wear.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
No. I've heard people call it a garage door opener, dog collar around my neck, those types of things. And
it seems a little demeaning. It feels a little demeaning.
Very demeaning. Yeah. If you, actually, on my drive up here this morning, I was talking to a nurse and her husband who are starting a business where they provide home care, and she was interested in Lively, and she said, "Oh yeah, all of my clients, I can't get them to wear a pendant." And it's not that surprising. It's I didn't bring one, but people have seen them. It's around the neck, and it's pretty big. And and as you said, it's very demeaning. And so our thesis was make something really simple, make it elegant. I'm actually wearing it. We haven't even said it. But this is the Lively watch.
Funny. I was looking at that and thinking, what kind of – is that? What does he have on there? Is that the new Pebble Time? What is that?
It looks like a Pebble.
Like a smartwatch,
People think it looks like the Apple Watch. Maybe not you and I, but people in our demographic that we're selling to from afar, they're like, oh, that's the new Apple Watch or that's a smartwatch or what have you. And the whole idea was to take the pendant and let me get my angles right here. Yeah. There's an orange button right here. And if you need help, you push that button. You'll notice there's no other buttons on the watch because we wanted to make it super, super simple.
Yeah.
It has a step counter. Because people like steps. There you can see the large display.
Step counter
is really
great
simple.
Idea.
Actually,
because then
screen,
it's more than just, this is not an alert button. This is my health watch. You know, it's my step counter.
And make the alert
bands.
Button. You have it spot on. Make the alert button a feature.
It's a feature.
If you make it the only thing it does, people don't want it.
No.
It's stigmatized. Even this, the screen that's up right now is a perfect example.
It's a watch.
The time, this is going to be funny to, I think, a lot of us and viewers. The fact that the time is really big and easy to read.
That's good.
And then it says Tuesday and the actual date.
Yes.
Those are things that elders want to be reminded of. So really simple design things like that.
I agree.
And then if you want the step counter, you tap on it. Probably the coolest thing about the watch, in a lot of respects from an everyday perspective, is the kit comes with these little sensors that I'm holding up. Mm-hmm. And this one, it'll be hard to see, but this one says pillbox. This goes
give
on
it to
this.
Me because I can I have a close-up camera over here. So this this is
so if you turn it on the side, you'll see right
there. It
says
pillbox one.
Says pillbox one. Now you'll see it has a little L shape on there with a 3M adhesive.
Yeah, what's that?
You just tie that. Now I'll actually borrow it again.
Okay,
if you don't
let me
mind.
Give it back. Yep.
And this people will be able to see here. Imagine this is my pillbox. I put it to the side of my pillbox.
Yeah.
Pillboxes are those things Monday through Sunday.
Yeah, I
open
one.
Up Monday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dump the pills in. This is a really simple accelerometer, and all we're doing is seeing if mom. Or me, if I'm the
took
user.
Took her pills.
Took her pills.
Oh, my God.
If she didn't, she gets a little reminder on the watch. Little icon comes up saying, hey, you missed your medication. She's reminded. You and I as the children aren't bothered.
Oh, I would like to know, though.
But hold on.
Okay.
She should first get
she's
to take it.
She's the first to take it.
If she takes it within 15 minutes, and then we do one more, so another 15 minutes. If she takes her medication, that's good.
Then you don't
and then
need
you
to be
shouldn't
involved.
Be reminded because then it's not too intrusive.
Worked fine.
And it worked for her. And so exactly what you said is how it works.
So that's pillbox one.
That's pillbox one.
This says refrigerator. What is this for?
So that goes on the refrigerator because what we're trying to do is, to your point earlier, I'm going to bring up my phone, is to show eating and drinking patterns. So is mom just eating on a regular basis?
Yeah.
So if we go ahead and hold that.
You know what? Everybody my age and your age is starting to think about this right now. How do I make sure...
So that's the dashboard. So imagine you had this for your mother. This shows that she's away from the house right now because the watch is away from the hub.
So, good.
She took 3,000 steps today.
Great.
She has two sensors she's using, one for glucosamine and one for refrigerator. If you tap on refrigerator, you'll see that those little dots
this is when
show activity.
It.
Now,
in fact,
some
mom
people,
spends a lot of time in there. This is typical.
This is a demo system in our office. So this is a bunch of people.
Yeah, okay, good.
That's a lot, right?
Mom's living in the fridge.
She's eating healthy. The important thing about this is all we show are those dots.
Okay.
And so some people might say, well, you don't know what mom's eating or exactly what she's drinking. As soon as you do that,
on mom.
Then you're spying on mom.
We don't want to spy on mom. We just
this happy medium.
Yeah.
And
so
then
you've
the
tested. You've tested with elders and with kids.
Oh yeah.
Their kids, what would be an appropriate level of
exactly.
information?
There's no video cameras. So, yeah. like Dropcam is an example. Beautiful product,
yeah.
really nicely designed, good for some use cases, not good for elders yeah. within the home. If you yeah. put a Dropcam on an elder, they're going to say, not in my house.
Yeah, I don't want you watching what I'm doing. Yeah, yeah my mom would hate that.
The last thing I should mention is this hub.
Okay, so this is the key.
That's
this
the key.
Is what everything's talking to.
So you plug that in, literally on the back, you'll see
is
there's one
Wi-Fi?
Hole.
Is it Wi-Fi? Is it Bluetooth? How are you talking?
We actually are using a data connection, an M2M data connection, just like in a Kindle.
Okay.
So that the elder
oh, that's nice.
Does not need internet access in the home.
So you have your Sprint or something, and it's going through that, and that's nice.
Exactly.
So basically, all you do is plug this in, and it's going
to
connect.
Plug it in. These are already prepared. The sensors are prepared to
nice.
The hub. The watch starts talking to the hub.
What's this port here?
And that is the SIM card.
Of course. So that's the SIM card.
That's the SIM card. We
nice.
Actually developed this, so this one
nice.
Works around the world. We have a partnership with Vodafone.
Great.
And then they have roaming partnerships with everyone around the world. Super simple. It's $50 for the whole kit. Including the watch, the hub, and the sensor.
Wait a minute. $50?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing an infomercial now.
This is
I'm
great.
Sorry.
I love it.
David, wait a minute.
Where do
$50?
I call?
$50? Really? No, how do you do it that inexpensively?
So
there must be a monthly fee.
So there's a monthly fee.
Okay.
So this is what's interesting about this space.
So you're selling at cost probably or a little bit below cost.
We're selling a little bit below cost.
Yeah, yeah.
But what happens is for all those alerts that you see, that pendant, so, for instance, the one that you see on the infomercials and you just wear it around the neck,
right.
the only thing it does is that button. If
right.
you push it, somebody calls you to see if you're okay. That they charge 30 roughly. The number one in the market charges $34.95 a month.
A month.
1 month.
Wow.
We charge between $30 and $35 a month, depending on how you pay for it. But you get all this. You get that
yeah.
app that you saw for all the family members.
Let me
you
see
get.
If my mom would like this. This seems like a really. I'm not actually worried about her taking her meds or going to the refrigerator. That doesn't. I'm not worried about that. But I love. I think she would like steps.
She would like steps.
She certainly like time and date. And I love it that she would have this little way of reaching me. You know, she not so. She was not so old, but maybe 15 years ago. So she would have been in her 70s. Called me, laughed hysterically, and then hung up. And I was very puzzled. And so I called a friend who was living next door to her. I said, could you just check on my mom?
Yeah.
Because that was the strangest thing I've ever heard. And she looked at it and she said, she's lying on the floor. And I said, quick, call 911. And fortunately, the firehouse was literally a block away. They got her to the hospital. She had a brain tumor and had some sort of strange aphasia or something. Knew there was something wrong. And thank God she could... At
she
least
called,
dial
yeah.
the phone and make some noise, and then and she's great now. She had an operation. They removed the tumor.
They removed it.
She's fine. They
so
said in
thankful.
about 40 or 50 years, you're going to have it removed again. It's a very slow-growing tumor. And she says, I'll worry about
I'll
that.
I'll worry about that in 40, 50 years, yeah.
But what if she hadn't been able to call me? She'd be dead.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what's so important about these
yeah.
devices. Then
yeah.
they're, and you said it, you really hit it quickly before, which is if you make it a feature so that if your mom didn't, she doesn't have to tell anybody that this is a...
No, it's a watch.
Safety watch
it's
for
not
her.
Not the most attractive watch ever, but that might be a little hard to get her to
oh, there's.
That.
I should have brought it, but there's also one in white. And so if
oh,
people
okay.
go on the website, there's one in white.
Yeah,
and
that
it
looks
comes
not
in
so bad.
Five different...
Do you get a little pushback on that? That I don't want to wear a geeky looking...
We, you know, the white helps a lot. More women buy the white.
Yeah.
And then we have five different bands that you can put on it, as well as you can put your own band. So people start to accessorize.
So
my
it's
favorite
a standard. Is it 22 millimeter?
20.
20 millimeter.
20 millimeter. My favorite story on that is there's a jewelry store, an owner in, I think it's Boca Raton in Florida, who is taking the safety watch, taking these bands off, and then she's blinging them out. So she's got it with
like
full-on jewelry
yeah.
selling to that clientele,
that's
which
nice.
Is fantastic.
That's very nice.
So over time, we'll work on you know more and more designs. But overall, because you have to remember what people are comparing it to, it's not the Apple Watch.
No, it's not, that button.
It's the button. So if it's the button versus a black or white watch with 10 different colors
yeah.
of the band, everybody's picking the watch, honestly. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer in that respect because people don't want to wear the pendant.
I'm sorry I turned this into a infomercial.
But I don't mind. I
would like to talk when we come back about the process of creating a physical product.
Yeah.
Because it turns out, and we're learning this now thanks to Kickstarter, this isn't as easy as just, I got a great idea, let me go to China and make it.
Oh, I'm happy to talk about that.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in the process involved.
I'm happy to share
a little insight.
Be less infomercially and more about kind of the process.
Yeah, I'm glad we got the infomercial in.
Yeah. No, I am too.
Because I think this is useful, and I'm going to get one for my mom.
Well, actually, people can go to the website. You can order on the website. They can call us, and we can talk to them about it as well if that's helpful.
$50, you get the watch, you get the hub, you get the two devices.
You get four sensors, actually. I just didn't bring two out of the box. Two for the pill box, one for the refrigerator, and one that we call custom, because you can put it anywhere.
And it's a movement sensor, or?
It's just an accelerometer, so it's measuring the movement of anything that it's on. Okay. Very simple.
Did mom go out the back door?
Into the garden is a very common placement. Some people put it in the bathroom. They choose.
Yeah.
Some say that's too intrusive. Some say that's okay.
My mom has a studio out in back of her house. I put it on that back door just to know that she was going to the studio.
That's a regular
pattern.
That's
where she's actively engaged.
You got it.
And, it's a regular pattern.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is really cool. And then about, what is it, $35 a month for the service?
$30 to $35 a month.
Depending on how you pay.
People, if you pay advance, you get a little less. Yeah. You don't have to.
Yeah.
It's up to people.
Nice.
And the beauty of that is, every single product out there, they're used to paying a monthly. So it's different than when we talk about Evernote that you get for premium. It's very different than
that. This is understood. And
the
kid, in my case, I would pay for it. I wouldn't even tell mom.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't ask. What happened? Who does this, when you press the button, what happens?
When you press the button, we have a call center that we've partnered with.
An alarm company or whatever.
And they are in the business of only doing medical alerts. So they're pros. They have two different facilities.
What do they do?
So what happens is you press the button. If they can get a hold of your mother,
they'll call the phone.
They call the phone. If she answers, they figure out if she needs help.
Right.
So in the example you gave, if they felt like, she doesn't seem 100%.
Right, or the phone doesn't get answered at
all. Or the phone doesn't get answered.
I called back about 6 or 7 times, no answer. That's when I sent the neighbor over.
Exactly. Yeah. So what happens here is up to 3 people can be called. So it could be you. It could be the neighbor.
Nice.
And those people can be called either before or after 911 is called.
So they will call 911.
They will eventually call 911.
Okay.
And if you have no emergency contacts in there, they will call 911 right away. Which 911 is very used to that. That a lot of calls
I have a friend who's an EMT, and we were talking about heart attacks. And he said, "Don't be embarrassed." He said, "We're used to this.
This is our job.
This is our job.
Yeah. We want to.
Yeah. He said that.
Yeah.
He said, "I can't tell you how happy I am when I get there, and it's just a mistake, or somebody's fine, or they fall, they hurt themselves, but they're not." He says, "But
that's a good day for
them." That's a good day for them.
Yeah.
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 It's absolutely true, and that's something I have to remember, because he said, if you feel like you're having a heart attack, it's okay to either get somebody to drive you to the hospital or get on an ambulance, and if it just turns out you have gas, it's fine. They're used to that. They don't mind, but they'd rather have you come in than not. Because if it is a heart attack, the sooner you get treatment, the better. We're going to take a break. I do want to talk a little bit about how you do a startup. Especially a hardware startup, because that sounds hard. Before we go on, though, we're talking with David Glickman, who is the COO and co-founder of Lively, mylively.com. Let's talk a little bit about building your wealth. It's kind of in the same thing, because as a person who is out there in the workplace right now, you're making money, and I hope you're saving money, but how are you saving that money? I think most of us know that you don't put it in a savings account where it's going to make so little additional money that you're basically letting it dissolve in front of your very eyes. You want to invest it. But do you have the time to follow your investments, to make sure you're invested properly, to rebalance your investments every quarter, to make sure you don't get too heavy into one sector, to kind of plan the risk and all of that? Maybe you do. Most of the time, I always thought I did, and I never paid any attention to it, and I keep thinking, I got to go look. Many of us go out and get an advisor and spend a lot of money for a financial advisor and sometimes don't get the best advice. Financial advisors charge between 1% and 3% of what you have under management. In fact, my mom has a financial advisor. That's exactly what she pays. And then you're also paying for transactions and other hidden fees. Basically, it may cost you more to invest than you're making. Wealthfront solves all this. This is inspired. It's really brilliant. Inspired by a couple of books that I read some years ago, like A Random Walk Down Wall Street. These three guys are the guys who are doing the software. They're doing the investment for you. This is programmatic. Charles Ellis,
Burton, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Malkiel. Burton's book, A Random Walk Down Wall Street, is a must-read. They are putting together these investments. They have lots of experience doing this, and they're using software to do stuff like rebalance automatically, but even sophisticated stuff. They call it tax loss harvesting that reduces the tax bill, direct indexing. So you're going to get better returns, lowering your tax bill, and all of this is 0.25% a year, 25 basis points. There are no commissions. There are no hidden fees. That's it. We're talking less than $5 a month on a $30,000 account. And no additional charges. So your money is coming back to you. It's building your retirement portfolio. Maybe you want to buy a house. You're building up the down payment. This is the right way to do it. And as technology fans, I think you'll understand this. Now, they've done something really great for us. They've reduced the minimum investment to $500. It used to be $5,000. It's now $500. So if you're skeptical or you want to know more, here's what you do. You go to wealthfront.com/triangulation. The first thing they'll tell you for free is what you'll answer some questions about time frame and your risk aversion, things like that. They'll create a portfolio. You'll see immediately a sample portfolio. Get an idea of what they would do for you, how they would invest your money. Then, for as little as $500, you can just try it and get a sense. I think what'll happen, though, is after a year, you'll say, gee, I wish I'd invested more, because this really works. It's brilliant. Wealthfront software optimizes your investment for the best risk-adjusted return net of taxes and fees. Net, that means after taxes and fees. Wealthfront, they've done so well that in the last couple of years, they've grown 20 times in 2 years. They now have $2.4 billion in client assets. This has been a huge success, and rightly so. I'm not saying you shouldn't have fun. Lisa likes to play individual stocks. It's like going to Vegas. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. It's pretty hard to beat the machine. You can do that, but for your financial future, for your retirement, maybe you ought to be a little bit, play it safe, do it right.
For compliance purposes, I have to tell you, Wealthfront Incorporated is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are offered through Wealthfront Brokerage Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing in securities involves risks, and there is the possibility of losing money. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please visit Wealthfront.com to read their full disclosure.
Wealthfront.com/triangulation. This isn't day trading. This is long-term trading for your benefit at a very low cost. Wealthfront.com/triangulation. People say, oh, well, have you invested money? I can't. It drives me crazy. I've known about Wealthfront for some time. And they said, we can only let you do the ads if you're not a customer. SEC regulations prohibit client endorsements.
Oh.
So this is about the only thing we do ads for that I can't do, and it drives me nuts. Isn't that funny? But it's just it's the financial regulations.
Yeah, the regulations.
You can't have somebody who's using your service endorse it. But I read those books in college, I think. I feel like I read them a long time ago, not that long ago, but maybe 20 years ago, Random Walk Down Wall Street, and was so inspired. It's brilliant, really brilliant. And I've been kind of trying to do that myself. We're talking to David Glickman. He is the COO and founder of Lively. 3 years in business.
Mm-hmm.
So Iggy and you guys got together. Iggy had the original idea. You kind of knew what you wanted to do. Where did you start? You didn't have a product right out the box, did you?
No. In fact, the original idea was really, we didn't even have kind of a thought around the hardware.
So, you just knew you wanted to, that this was going to be a market that was going to be growing. People your age wanted this kind of thing for their parents.
Yes, and that there was an idea of we could make simple sensors with some sort of very easy way for it to work. Literally, we hadn't even figured out the wireless aspect of it. We did some really smart design around making it so you don't have to pair these. So,
I think that's great.
Right? We've all tried to pair this phone with a car.
You pair it at the factory.
We pair it all at the factory, and then we can add sensors, and we send what's called a table, right? A table of information that says, hub one, look for these six sensors.
Oh, neat.
So we can add more sensors, and in the cloud, tell the hub, okay, look for two more sensors. that's super important for this user
So you can
group.
Buy additional sensors if there are three pill boxes, morning, noon, and night.
Yep, we're adding that ability for
sensor.
People to buy more. So yeah, you asked how
this
we
was the quantified self movement, but you figured you chose a particular slice of it. Was that kind of where you came at it from?
Very much so, and that's paid off. So if people go to the website, they'll see. If you go to our little press section, we've been really fortunate to get a lot of press, and part of that is because we picked what they call a vertical. We picked a certain area that we want to go after. We want to just focus on that. We don't want to try to be all things to all people and just really, really try to, you know, nail this use case, if you will.
Is that your recommendation as an entrepreneur?
I think if
you can go too broad, for sure.
I think you can go too broad. I think in hardware in particular, if you are going on a shoestring and starting a Kickstarter all the way to you've raised a lot of money, I think picking a use case to start with is a really, really, really smart move. If you look at Nest and that thermostat, that's a good example.
Yeah.
Right? And they had the funds to do all sorts of things. They raised a lot of money right out of the gate. But I think they were smart to say, okay, we're going to really reimagine what the thermostat could be.
Yeah.
And from their perspective, I think a lot of what they did was just design. I mean, there were other people who kind of were doing what they were doing. They just made a beautiful product.
Yeah. There's a lot of competition in their space now.
Then there's a lot of competition. Yeah. And that's the other thing we like about this space is
nobody else. I can't get up, and that's
those
it.
Those are our competitors. It's not, for lack of a better word, it's not the sexiest thing to be in. And
which
we
is
like
good.
That. We like that. We like taking the time to educate people about it. It's not a. I always say that this is not an impulse purchase. Probably when you bought the Apple Watch. That was an impulse purchase. You didn't talk to anybody else. No. Should I buy it? Should I not? What will mom think? Et cetera. Lively, to be fair.
You got to plan this. This is
it's a little bit of planning.
I'm going to call mom and say, and I'm going to actually have to sell her on it.
Yep.
You can wear this watch. You could put it on, and it would be really great. You would feel. I'm going to need help from you on that.
I'm happy to help. I mean,
Your parents on this.
One of the things we do there, I mean, this sounds infomercially to some extent, but it's important, is we just say, just try it. And we give people 60 days. It's not even 30. You have to give a little more time. And what we found is once people have it, they use it. The way we really set out to figure out what worked best is, and I recommend this especially with hardware, is we did a lot of prototypes early on. But let me talk a little bit about prototype. There's a couple different ways you can do it. One is you can literally build a prototype, electrical engineers, and it actually works. And that's a good step.
That's what they did at Square. They actually went into a maker space, a hacker space, and they built their first reader. And because they wanted to see if it worked.
Right.
Because it had this is not what you did, though.
We did that second. What we did first, and I recommend this if it's a scenario where you can do this, is I literally took an old Linksys router. You might remember it. There was a nice Linksys product that was a portable router.
Yeah.
And it had a little projecting and retracting prong, the AC plug.
Yeah.
So you push this button, and then you just plug it into the wall.
Yeah.
And it was right there, and you use it in a hotel for a little Wi-Fi
travel
hotspot.
Router. Yeah.
I took one of those. I had bought it. I wrapped it in a piece of paper. At that point, I had come up with the brand Lively. So we designed a little thing, and we said, okay, this is a hub.
By the way, Lively is brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's
positive.
It's very positive.
Yeah.
It's like, it
serves
very well.
But
it has the word live in it, live.
And it can go beyond this segment if we ever want
to. That's a good point, yeah.
Down the road.
So there's room for growth.
And then we created some sensors that were literally little almost decals on a piece of paper. Honestly, they were skinnier than this. Once we went to build it, we realized it couldn't be that small. And we just did focus groups. And when I say focus groups, I didn't hire, we didn't go and hire some fancy firm and tens of thousands of dollars to do a formal group. We went to senior living communities.
Yeah.
We went to home care agencies. We went to churches and synagogues where they're elders. And we just had conversations.
So we said,
here's what this product would do. And it's pretty interesting. If you hold those things up and you say, imagine it did this, imagine it did that, people can imagine. They need that physical thing to kind of see it.
They want to see it, but they still can...
They can still do some imagining.
Yeah.
And so in that early stage, that was very helpful for a couple things. One, it validated we were onto something. People were interested. You asked about this earlier. It also helped us figure out what was too intrusive and what was not too intrusive. So
what
for
would
instance,
be considered spying?
Yes. For instance, as soon as we held them up, a lot of people said, do those have video cameras in them?
Yeah.
Are there video? Because I won't do that.
I don't want that.
And so that was very validating.
Yeah.
So a lot of, and then also it just helped for our early fundraising. I was at a venture capital firm before who helped fund Lively. And it was helpful for them to see data, qualitative right. data from people, and some quantitative, that said, hey, yes, I would be interested in this. Then we went the next step. We got some money. Then the next step.
How much
built
money
some
did you
prototype.
Get in the first round?
We were fortunate. We got a couple $1 million in the first round.
Was that a number that you knew you needed to actually build and prototype and do all of this? Or
yeah, at a ballpark. You always ballpark it early on.
You don't know.
You don't know. And I would say
you
with
add
hardware.
20% on top or just in case. Or
yeah,
50.
Maybe a little more with hardware.
100.
Hardware's hard.
Hardware's really hard.
It is easier than it was 20 years ago,
yeah, because there's all these systems. Thanks to Apple, I think. A great part thanks to Apple because they kind of perfected this making the iPhone.
Yes.
And now you go to China, it's well understood. You go to Shenzhen and you say...
You can go to Shenzhen. We build this in Shenzhen. And you can go there and there's lots of great companies. We partner with one called PCH, which is based in Shenzhen and San Francisco. They have a huge office in San Francisco.
Because they want entrepreneurs to come to them and say, I want to make your hardware.
Exactly. And so we then did a prototype where we built it. It looked pretty similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with the industrial designer who worked on the Nest thermostat. A gentleman named Fred Bold. Fred Bold Design, fantastic.
It's really pretty. You wouldn't mind having that on your kitchen
counter.
Yeah,
that was the idea. It was not a big ugly box.
But
it
also
feels.
So tell me a little bit about, because designers use language when they are describing.
Yep.
We all have heard Johnny Ive use language to describe the design.
I won't sound as sophisticated as him.
but what did he tell you about this design?
It's a good question, and we didn't rehearse this ahead of time, but spot on. There is one word. This we had six designs that we looked at. One we called a pebble because it looked like a little stone,
mm-hmm.
and it sat flat,
mm-hmm. kind of like that.
The word that came to mind was organic.
Yes.
And we, I think,
because it's
own,
not symmetric.
Exactly. And the idea was to not make it perfectly symmetrical, not perfect round, perfect square.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had it partly into the name, right? An organic, a living, breathing thing.
It's concave on the front and it's convex on the back.
Yeah.
It feels good in the hand.
Yeah, and then we tried to
mirror
it. It's
funny because you don't need all of that for this to work.
No. No.
Like a Raspberry Pi, but...
The one thing is there's a proprietary antenna that we built, so we get good range between the sensors and the watch. So that needs a little bit of room, but you're right. It could have been a little smaller.
I'm sure there's air in there. How far away can the little devices be?
The watch can be 1,500 feet.
Oh, my God.
Very far. And this is about 100, 150 feet. Now, that's called unobstructed. So
yeah,
if you have a bunch of
walls
it might,
yeah.
But the important thing for elders is for almost any elder, they're not living in a space when they're living
they're
on their
giant
own.
Space, no.
They're not in a giant
and
space.
And you put these sensors in the kitchen for the most part, and this in the kitchen.
Yeah,
so.
And this maybe in the bathroom where the pillbox is and so forth. So what I was saying about the prototyping, the second phase we did, is we built 30 of these. They look pretty close to this, but kind of hand-built.
Yeah.
And we went into homes in Florida.
Where'd you
Sarasota.
Build those? Do you build those in China, or do you build those locally?
We built the internal boards locally.
Yeah.
Well, in Austin, Texas. Yeah. We have a partner there. And then in that case, those 30 molds we actually did overseas.
So this is a process of, A, finding somebody who can make it, working it out with them, and then you spend time in Austin and Shenzhen because you have to look, right? You have to. This is one thing that the Kickstarter guys are starting to realize. Oh, I'm going to be spending time in China. A lot of time in China.
It's really interesting. There are companies out there, PCH, who we work with is one of them. They have been phenomenal in the sense that we don't have to have a team in China.
Right.
Now, we've been to China three times in the process of building this, but we don't have to have feet on the ground because our partner is there.
They're in San Francisco.
They're in San Francisco. But what I would agree is that we needed to be over there. Here's my favorite example. This is really interesting when it comes to manufacturing our design, metrics.
I'm sure you have 3D templates you're sending to them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't they make it exactly like those?
So here's an example. They did. When I went the first time to visit.
Yeah.
It'll be hard to see on the screen, but you can probably see it. There's a little line in the middle.
So
it's two. There's a seam. There's two pieces here.
Right.
So the plastic manufacturer, who did a great job in the end of the day, they did the back in one run, and then they did the front in another run. And so the whites were slightly different.
Oh.
So when you put them together, if you had them separate, you wouldn't notice.
Right.
But when you put them together, when I walked into the factory,
they don't match.
I said, no, I'm not approving that because this is a little bit yellower than the other one. And we got kudos. Actually, a friend at Apple I showed this to, and he said, whites are really hard.
Really hard. Apple has said
Remember that? When every time the
white
new
iPhone didn't come out right away because it turns out it yellows or something goes wrong. You can't get consistent
So he was very impressed with our white, and hopefully you can attest.
Why didn't you make it some other color? White's hard.
White and orange are very good colors for Elder Market. Actually, orange is a very positive.
I don't want orange in my kitchen, though. I want white in my kitchen.
We looked at
that's what I would have gotten.
Yeah, we looked at making the whole thing orange.
Yeah,
we looked at making the whole thing orange, and then we decided that's too loud.
So even your color of your logo, you tested because you were looking for a color that elders liked.
Yeah,
and they liked orange.
Yeah, elder,
which I wouldn't have thought.
Well, you want a high contrast too, so that's pretty good contrast. Yeah. And orange is a very warm, very warm.
And you
color.
See orange on the website. It's a white background with orange and a little
and
blue.
A little blue. Yeah.
So this is all conscious. This is not. Oh, let's see what
it's
happens.
Conscious. It's conscious.
You have to do that.
You have to do all that. So we spent with those 30 prototypes we built. We spent 6 weeks in Sarasota, Florida. It was probably one of my favorite parts of building the company so
that's
far.
That's not so bad.
I went back and forth two or three times.
What's
and
in Sarasota?
Well. So
old
we worked
folks.
With, well, older folks. By zip code, it is the oldest zip code region or whatever in the United States.
Sure.
And so there was an organization there. They're not in existence anymore, but at the time they would do focus groups with elders for companies, and we found them. So I went back and forth, pretty much lived there for 6 weeks, and literally just were in the homes of people getting their feedback. So, for instance, we had, what did we do? We had, one of the things is, in the very first version of the product, we included a pillbox. And there was a challenge with that, which is you had to have a pretty big pillbox, which then made the box...
too big.
Bigger than this.
Yeah, that's a nice little
but,
size
but
box.
We were thinking, oh, a pillbox is really important, so maybe we'll make the box bigger.
Right.
So in our trials, what we learned was people said, I don't want your pillbox.
I have my own pillbox. Yes, I do too.
So don't make people change patterns.
Yeah.
So little things like that you learn.
That's great, though.
It was very, very fascinating. So when it comes to hardware, I think prototype as early as you can, even before you start building an actual thing, if you can. I think plan that you're going to iterate. So the biggest challenge is you're not going to get everything right out of the gate.
Right.
When it's software and you're building an app, you just
it's easy
you
to
just
break
come
it
out
1.1 and fix it fast. Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to you have to remember that with hardware if you make
so
a mistake.
Easy.
Our first sensors, I'll admit one of our mistakes. So all these sensors pop right out of this this little thing here, and we did not make the battery replaceable. Because the battery lasts about 10 months. So our thinking was, oh, we'll just send them a new sensor.
Right.
The challenge was it's a little bit of cost for us, but not tremendous because we have a monthly recurring revenue.
Yeah.
But people didn't want to wait.
Right.
And also, if you think about the battery life is about 10 months from the time we build it. Well, when you build it, then you ship it to our distribution center.
So you might only get 6 months
in
the
customers. Might only get six. And so it sounds really, you know, people online are probably like, oh, that was dumb. Why didn't you do that? Well, we just made a mistake. And so the new versions, you put a little coin in here, you twist this, and you put a new battery in.
Okay.
That's an example. That costs us some time and money.
Yeah.
And those are, that's where hardware's hard. Anything you want to iterate takes time and money.
A lot of Kickstarter people learning that.
And a lot of Kickstarter people learning it, and a lot of Kickstarter projects that either are super, super late or just don't get there.
I'm really glad, though, that it's become easier because you don't, I mean, it's wonderful we live in this incredibly fertile software environment where there's all sorts of stuff people are trying, and it's easy and cheap and low cost.
Right.
And hardware is always harder and more expensive. But I'm glad that it's getting easier because
you want
innovation in hardware, too. You don't, you know.
And it's fun. I mean, listen, being an entrepreneur, no matter if it's hardware, software, whatever you're doing, a storefront, a restaurant, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of mistakes, and you try to minimize the mistakes, but you're always going to make them. But there's something wonderful about having tangible things that I love.
I agree.
It makes it, I would argue, a little more stressful than software.
But you know, it was so cute because the first thing you did when you came in here is you lovingly set up your hardware.
Yeah.
You can't do that with software.
Yeah.
You put it in here, right here, and I think that's great.
Yeah,
that's called you're proud of it.
Yeah.
We'll have a final segment, with David in just a bit. I just broke the hardware in just a bit. I want to actually talk about security of the Internet of Things because everybody's interested in the Internet of Things, and this is certainly that.
Definitely.
But everybody's also a little bit worried about security, and I'm curious what you've done about that. But first, let me show you a nice piece of hardware invented by some very clever folks. It's the Ring Video Doorbell. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I've seen Ring.
It is awesome. Okay, I'm going to ring it because I love the chime. What I didn't know, what I found out yesterday, because Jason, I think, bought one, is they also sell separate chimes if you want chimes in your house. So the Ring Video doorbell replaces your existing doorbell. I have a wired doorbell, so it wasn't such a big deal for me. This, you know, comes with a plate. You mount the plate. You hook this up. You can see right here, I had two wires coming out of my wall. Most people do. This works, though, even if you don't. If you just want to, you know, for instance, here at the studio, we just have a brick out front. There's no doorbell. But if you wanted to attach this to the brick, this has a one-year lithium-ion battery, and it's got a USB port, and it's proprietary attachment, so nobody's going to come along and steal it. And you just take it off, charge it, and put it back on. You got another year. And then you can buy the chimes and all that with no wiring. But here's the most important part is what it does. This is not just a doorbell. You notice up at the top there, that's a wide-angle, high-def camera. When the doorbell rings, wherever I am, and it doesn't have to be at home. I can do it right here because it connects to the internet. This is connected to your Wi-Fi. When the doorbell rings, my phone rings, my tablet rings. Actually, because I never hear the doorbell at home, everything in the house goes dong, dong. I hear chimes everywhere. I never miss a ring. I don't have to run to the doorbell. I can literally pick up my phone and answer. You can speak to and you can hear and you can see the person at your doorbell. Now, sometimes that person is a little shady character because it turns out about 95% of all robberies, home robberies, occur in the daytime. And what do they do first? They ring the doorbell to see if you're home. So you can answer it, but you can also see. There's even a motion detection system that'll let you know when somebody comes up to the front door or goes by your front door. You can set it in the software to be as wide as you want. So you can see, and if I look at my phone, I can actually see all the people. For instance, my daughter just arrived at my house. I know because it said there's motion at my front door. I go and I look at the app, and I can see her coming in. It is amazing. It's like they call it, say, caller ID for your house, the Ring Video doorbell. Now, I'm not Mr. Handyman, but it was easy for me to install. The kit comes with everything you need, drill bit, screwdriver, level, the appropriate attaching devices. They say it takes 15 minutes. I'm a dunce. Took me maybe a little longer, maybe an hour. But, you know, I put it in upside down at first. Things like that. You know how it is. But it worked great. And they have videos to show you how to do it. And it's so easy. You do need Wi-Fi. It attaches to your Wi-Fi network. They have Android and iOS apps, which makes it really easy. I am a huge fan of this. I love it, and I put it. We're going to put it outside that brick house too, because we need a doorbell. Time magazine named it the Ring Video Doorbell, one of their top gadgets last year. You'll find out why when you go to ring.com/triangulation. We're going to save you $10. Normally $200, we'll get it for you for $189 when you go to ring.com/triangulation. It is so cool, and I tell you, you get it in a couple of days. You'll install it. And you'll never want to live without it again. It's so great. I don't miss the door anymore. And when I get packages all the time, I can see it's the UPS guy. I say, hey, Joe, I'm not there. Just leave it on the front porch. And they'll do that. It's just awesome. We are talking about lively. I like the exclamation mark. So it says live, exclamation mark, Y.
Part of the logo.
Live. David Glickman is the COO, co-founder. You were a VC when you discovered this. Did Igor come to you and say, I've got a great idea, or how did that happen?
No, Iggy and I got introduced through another...
Call him Igor.
That's right. Sometimes I call him Igor under my breath.
Igor,
right?
Igor.
No, I was at a venture firm in a program, in a role called Entrepreneur in Residence.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
how
you've
fun.
Heard of it before.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. You basically work on investments, but also you think about maybe what's next, and if there's something interesting, you can go and start it. And... Iggy and I knew someone in common, one of the partners at the firm at the time. And so she introduced us. Iggy had the, as I mentioned, early idea around this. And I just started helping him almost as someone
it was a natural.
As someone at Mavron, the investment firm, because we were interested in seeing what Iggy wanted to do as well. And we kind of hit it off. And Keith was part of that as well. That's the three of us hit it off. I think I said this earlier. It's a really nice combination. So Keith is... very technical background, CTO, brilliant, brilliant engineer. Iggy has business and finance background, as well as some brand and marketing like me. And then, you know, we've talked about my background. So it's very complimentary. And then we just started working on it and in a way kind of incubated the early idea at Mavron and then decided to make a go at it.
I love the pictures of the team because all of you are featured with your Not all. Keith does apparently doesn't have any parents, but
he does have parents. That's Keith. He just wanted his own picture. But yes, you're right.
The rest
have
of you
pictures.
Feature with your parents, and I think that really brings it home. And by the way, this is a good sales tool too, because you see, it's people who designed this for their elders.
Exactly.
Iggy's got
a
picture of his.
I think it's a grandparent.
Grandparent.
That's my father and I. I think that's in the Galapagos Islands.
Oh,
we did
neat.
A family trip there a couple years ago for his 80th.
How fun is that?
And then, you can see everybody's, for the most part, we all have family pictures there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Keith would probably be maybe better able to describe this, but people are worried about this Internet of Things that we're getting to. Yep. Everything in our house is wired, my thermostat, my doorbell. And I think there's some fear about, some concern about these getting hacked. We're starting to see, we saw it at Black Hat, people starting to attack these devices. I think this is a little better because you're not using Wi-Fi. You don't even have to have Wi-Fi.
Correct. So you don't use Wi-Fi. You hit on the
That's
crux
smart.
Of it.
That's smart.
We are using the data connection in a cell cellular
Who's
system.
Who's the carrier you work with?
We actually work with Vodafone, and then they roam around the world. So this works around the world.
How interesting.
So here in the United States, it works on T-Mobile and AT&T, and it basically picks whatever network is
That's
better.
That's great because you get basically universal coverage.
Yeah, we get universal coverage. And the other part that's really interesting from a security standpoint is there's a VPN, a virtual private network connection between this and Vodafone.
So it's encrypted.
So that's actually
all the
more
way.
Secure than if you're just on Wi-Fi going to your Comcast network,
right.
if you will. And so that helps.
Yeah, I'm sure this doorbell is in the clear, but this is what you're doing is encrypted the whole
time. Yeah, it's actually it's actually even a little better.
Yeah.
Because of that VPN
that's
connection.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
And then the other piece is, earlier we showed that dashboard that was on the phone, and it's on Android and iOS and on the web and so forth. The only people who have access to that are people that are granted permission, right? So the family member, either the elder or the adult
family
child.
Family member chooses.
They choose. And you can have as many people as you want, but you're in control and there's one admin.
Another reason the elder feels a little bit more comfortable about this.
And the elder gets to bless that, and that's a really important component of it. And then we do all, and most... I know Ring and others do this as well, secure HTTPS, secure connections and data encryption. We use Amazon's cloud services versus building our own. That's another piece, by the way, hardware and software.
Boy, that's changed the world, hasn't
it? That's totally changed the world.
You don't have to buy a server anymore.
Our hardware costs, meaning not to build hardware, but to have the infrastructure for our company, literally our laptops and display monitors. That's it.
That's incredible.
And keyboard and mice.
I remember when my friend Kevin Rose started Dig, he was so excited that they had their first server in the colo. And, of course, they have to buy a server and put it in the co-location and configure it and install the software. And it was very expensive. And you spin it up and you spin it down.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Oh, it's incredible. What a change.
That is a huge game changer.
That's empowering technology, absolutely.
For any startup. Yeah.
We live in a really great time for an entrepreneur, I think, don't you?
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, I think applications like HipChat or Slack or some of these collaboration applications.
Do you
so
use
our
that
team,
in your team?
Yeah, so most of our team's in San Francisco. We have a couple people in Santa Barbara. We have a team in Austin, Texas.
See, it doesn't matter anymore.
Consultant, actually.
Yeah.
We have a team in the United Kingdom because we launched Lively in the United Kingdom. Yeah. They're on HipChat as well with us.
That's
we
so
have
great.
The team in Shenzhen. It's amazing.
That's so
I still love... getting people in a room and whiteboarding, and I don't think you can ever get away from that, or you should get away from that, because there's something about the human interaction of people. But the collaboration that can happen remotely and in the cloud, so to speak, with tools like a HipChat.
We use HipChat here, even though we're all in the same area.
Yeah, and the people in San Francisco, same thing.
It's just easier.
And it doesn't clog email. I mean,
email... Yeah.
Too much email is painful.
I have to admit, though, I'm getting less and less enamored of... I have... a Slack window open because that's our web designers in Austin. I have HipChat open because that's us. I have Apple's messages open because that's my fan. I have
too
many message windows open.
Yes, I've limited to app for iMessage for family and HipChat.
Oh, and I have Google Hangouts because I'm an Android guy. And now I'm using a Telegram. And then Facebook Messenger. It's just crazy.
I just signed up for Telegram.
Telegram a lot.
I'm trying to figure out.
I want
that
one.
Versus WhatsApp versus iMessage. It's to your
same.
Point. I don't
They're
know if I
same.
Need them all. But I did like Telegram. It's very fast and secure.
Pavel Durov did it, who was the very interesting story. He was, they for a while, billed as the Mark Zuckerberg of Russia until Putin decided, I think I'm going to take your software, your company. And they basically forced him out. He lives in all over the world now. The company's based out of Berlin. But he's a smart programmer.
Which is probably why security, he's very
aware.
Underlying is all about security.
At first I thought, well, can I trust a Russian? But he's not of the Putin Russian.
Right.
He's the
anti,
opposite. He's anti-Putin. The anti.
Yeah.
Totalitarian.
I agree. It's funny you mentioned that. I just started using that last week, and
I love
just to
it.
Play around with it. It's very fast.
I love it. But John C. Dvorak and Om Malik are the only people I know on it. I'll add you.
But we literally are having the same experience. We both went on it, and we knew like
it.
Three people. We'll add each other.
I will offer this to our viewers. I am Chief Twit on Telegram, and I'll talk to you because I can't talk to anybody else. And you can't convince your kids. You'll see as the kids get older. They're going to use...
Whatever they want to use.
Whatever their friends use, right?
Yep.
They have the same problem, though, because I asked my son. He said, well, we use WhatsApp, but the frat, he's in a frat. The frat uses GroupMe. And, of course, he uses messages because everybody except me and my family is a blue bubble. I'm the green bubble. Sad.
Yeah,
story.
There are...
It's a mess.
It is a mess.
I'm afraid Mark
Interestingly,
Zuckerberg's
that's where
win
email...
This.
Is the opposite
it's
of that.
It's federated. It works. It wasn't originally.
You can pick whatever client you want.
You're
but.
Too young to remember, but in the early days, if you were on MCI mail, you couldn't email somebody who was on CompuServe.
Oh, no. I remember. I had CompuServe and App. I had
your
CompuServe,
kid.
Apple Link.
Apple Link, yeah.
Apple Link was my favorite because you could only email people within Apple.
That's it. It's kind of self-selecting. The smart ones.
And then CompuServe, you had to remember that number.
Right. Yeah, 75106, 3135.
See, I've
That's
mine.
How bad it got. It's now burned into my mind like a serial number. Hey, this has been fun. David, congratulations
really fun.
On
you.
Lively. This seems like a really good idea. I am going to... Oh, I wanted to get a tip. How do I talk to my mom about this?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, it's interesting. What we found is the watch goes a long way. So just showing the watch, you know, you go to the website, there's a video.
Yeah.
I think the white, to your question, and especially for your
I'll
mom,
show her
I think
the
helps.
One. Can I make it a pendant instead?
You can. We haven't manufactured yet, but we designed something where you can put this as a pendant. I will say, though.
I think she'd prefer that. Yeah? You think she'll like the watch?
Ask her, but I will say we thought about it. We thought about doing it this year, and we put it off.
You don't get steps with a pendant, probably.
You do. It's not as
accurate.
But we put it off because everybody loves the watch.
You know what I'm going to tell her? Mom, because she likes to walk, but she's walking less. I said, Mom, I really want to encourage you to continue to walk. What if I sent you one of those watch bands that measures your steps? And
you
I think it'd be really
one.
Cool.
We have had people do that, definitely.
Oh, and by the way, if you just put this on your refrigerator,
I think
that.
The biggest thing, this is why Apple and Samsung Gear and all those, they help us. Because
I agree.
It's now seen as... This is a, I've heard people say, you know, smartwatch for seniors, Fitbit for seniors, whatever the right phrase is. And that helps because it's much, much less stigmatizing
than the medic alert.
And seniors. Then the last thing I find, either the child or grandchildren, asking the loved one to just try it. Just try it for me, Mom.
Come on.
And grandkids in particular
Abby
are very
could do
influential.
That. She could go to grandma and say, Grandma, I love you. I just want to make sure you're okay. Can you mind if...
Yeah, and then also I think the last thing is, we're giving them things just for them. The step counting can just be for them. The med reminder can just be for them versus, and you hit on it, versus, Mom, I just want you to wear this because you need a button in case you fall. That's not very empowering.
Good. Yeah.
And so it's all about empowering them more.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Thank
David.
You.
David Glickman,
yeah,
COO,
thanks for having me.
Co-founder of Lively, mylively.com. Thank you all for being here. We love doing triangulation. I always get excited and inspired and get new ideas. It's fertilizer for your brain. That's not a very good tagline. we do the triangulation every Monday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1800 UTC. It is nice if you watch because then we get questions. We get all sorts of... somebody, in fact, Captain Jay wants to know if Lively runs without power.
Captain Jay, great question. In the current version of the hub, if the power goes out, meaning if someone unplugs it or the power just goes out, family members get notified right away.
Power's out. That's
even
better.
They get a notification.
I'd like to know when Mom doesn't have power.
Yeah, on the app or a text message. And then we are building the next version of the hub that will have a battery backup built in.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you, Captain Jay.
Good question. Hope we didn't miss others. But
No, I watch.
Okay. Excellent.
And that's why we want you to watch live. But if you can't, don't worry. On-demand audio and video is always available after the fact. Just go to twit.tv/TRI. You can also go to youtube.com/triangulation. And, you know, we're a podcast, so you can get it on all the podcatchers, iTunes, and all that stuff. Just look and download it. In fact, search for the Twit Network and subscribe to the shows you think are interesting. We love it if you subscribe. That way we know you're going to watch each and every week. I need you here every week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Triangulation. Bye-bye.